listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. And we have a wonderful special guest today. Actually, we have two of them, and we're going to talk about them in a minute, but I just want to tell you what my show is about. We are broadcasting every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are, were, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com. Click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, of course, and click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page, and that is where you can view the list of our guests. Now, our shows are available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. All you have to do is type Question Reality Radio in the search box. And if you want to find out about our future guests, you want to go to the official Question Reality website, and that is questionrealityradioshow.com. questionrealityradioshow.com. Oh, we are also on Stitcher.com, so check out Stitcher.com. It has fantastic shows on there. And as always, as I just said, we got two wonderful guests today. Very excited. Hot, gorgeous, sexy girl in our office, Hallie Jordan.
Hey.
Say hey, Hallie Jordan. And we have a co-host today all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee. She is sizzling and sexy and sassy and sultry. Ooh. And her name is Lisa DeVinny.
Wow.
Oh, did I get that right?
Ooh, you got it right, girl.
And she is visiting us today, and she is a costumer, so we are going to maybe get a couple little costume tips in there if we can a little later, but let's talk about Hallie. All right, is it Hallie? Hallie!
Hallie!
Hallie is in Halle Berry!
Yeah!
Hallie! I want you to go to her website right now if you can. Her website is HallieJordan.com. That's HalleJordan.com. And we are going to be asking her a lot of actor questions. She's an actor and a producer, so we're going to ask some questions about, on a scale of 1 to 10, how stressful is the acting career? We're going to ask her what kind of career she was interested before she became an actress. Look, I'm prepping her. She's like readying her answers. And we're going to ask her, what advice would you give to kids who want to act? And what's the hardest part about acting? And we got a whole bunch more questions, which we're going to be asking her. Now, let me just tell you, Hallie Jordan, as I said, is a producer, actress, and her background is in theater. And she has a, now I want to ask her about this, a self-developed BA degree titled The Ontology. Thank you. I got glasses on. I still can't see. The Ontology. Did I say oncology? Oh, Jesus. God, that's dark. The Ontology of a Performer from Johnston College at the University of Redlands.
Yeah.
And she has studied abroad in Paris at the Sorbonne. Ooh, that was expensive. Arezzo, Italy, Salzburg, Australia, and Nepal. Well, that's what it says. She's looking surprised. I don't know. We're going to talk to her about that. Hallie has an alumni status at the Comedy Studies Conservatory from the Second City, Chicago. So we are going to find so many exciting things out about her. But first, I want to go into this wonderful advertisement. It's a new advertiser. Thank you very much. From Alyssa Sampirio at the Printed Palette. So check this advertisement out, and you want to be there on August the 10th. Hit it, Albert.
Hey, what's up, San Diego? The Printed Palette store is opening its doors in Carlsbad. Come check out our brand new home base and shop new styles not yet available online. We'll be handing out free totes and raffling off special prizes to our guests. And for one day only, save 20% on all in-store items. So stop by August 10th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and check out what's new and upcoming with The Printed Palette. Our brand new store is located at 6806 Embarcadero Lane, Carlsbad, California, 92011. Parking is available at the Poinsettia train station. So come on down to Carlsbad and check out The Printed Palette.
Whoa, The Printed Palette. That sounded good, Lisa, didn't it?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Oh, you know, Albert, Alyssa, she has a lot of great stuff, remember? So we got to go down there and check that out on August 10th. So check out... yeah, Lisa. It's Alyssa. Alyssa Samperio. That's the advertisement we just did. Oh, so August 10th. Everybody be there. We're going to be there. Too bad you won't be there. You'll be back in Knoxville, but we could have shown some of your wonderful costumes. Now, tell us, before we talk to Hallie, we want to talk to you real quick. What type of costumes do you do?
Mostly they...
Costumes. Okay. All right. She's never been on radio, so we're going to let her group herself together a little bit and get back to her on that. But she does all kinds of wonderful costumes. I saw some of her sample work. She has this beautiful girl, a daughter, named Hannah, and she does all of her costumes, and they were just so wonderful and festive and creative and energetic. And she's going to be moving out here, so if anybody's looking for a costume designer, we definitely need to send Lisa your way. So you can email me, and she'll probably be moving out here in September. So we'll have a website up for her and get all of her designs up there. So if you want a costumer for your film or television project, she's the girl for you, for sure. Now, Hallie!
Yeah.
Oh, my God! I am so glad you're here. You were supposed to come next week,
right?
And you were just so flexible with coming this week, and I thank you.
Of course.
So we want to find out all about Hallie Jordy. Now, it says that you were associate producer and you had a role of the Vision, I guess that's the character, in an upcoming feature called The Girl, starring Evie Thompson, Michael Behean.
Michael Bean?
Yeah. Through Blanc Bean Productions. Tell us about that. What is The Girl about?
The Girl is a suspense thriller. It's actually kind of a horror movie. Blanc Bean Productions does a lot of horror movies. So this will be my first horror.
Wow.
I'm really excited. Wow. And the girl, Evie Thompson, gets captured by the father. The names are all very the girl, the father, the Vision,
oh,
and the mom.
Oh, okay.
And towards the end, she has this vision, before she passes out and is about to die, which I'm not going to give away the ending. I play that vision. I'm the angels that kind of come to her. Or I'm the angel of the angels.
Now, is this a short film, a web series,
a feature?
It's a feature?
Yes.
Okay, and at what stage? Is it post-production? Is it film?
It's in pre-production. We start filming August 27th.
Okay.
And I think it's already got distribution, if I'm right, from Sony, and we're talking to Lionsgate and a couple of other people.
Wow, that is huge.
Yeah.
Sony and Lionsgate,
we'll see what happens with it. I don't quote me. That's just what I know.
Well, that's okay because you're part of it. But it'll probably start the festival circuit about when?
It probably will be done in a couple of months. There's still a lot of posts to go through once we finish.
Mm.
So probably after the holidays, January, February, it'll start.
And who are some of your co-stars?
Michael Bean.
Okay, obviously.
Evie Thompson.
Obviously. Anybody else?
Yeah, there are a couple, but I'll have to go look at the cast list. It's
on IMDb.
Go on IMDb and check it out.
Look under The Girl.
The Girl.
Who is it directed by?
Jennifer Blanc Bean.
Okay. Boy, there's a lot of news.
Burnsville.
This is a family business. It's a family affair over there. Now, executive producer and principal actress in the upcoming pilot To the Bridge.
Yes.
Now, when I read this, this was exciting. Let me just read this and you tell us more. It sounds so good. It's about two women who are scorned by the same man and seek revenge and find themselves in a new career in the realm of cheater justice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's exciting. That is titillating. Tell me more about it.
I came up with the idea to create a pilot and went to a friend who is a great writer and has a lot of things out there, like Boy Band, which is about to hit Comedy Central and Netflix and possibly Showtime. So look out for Boy Band with director John Artigo. But we've been in works with this for about 3 months, And 5 drops in, we decided to finally shoot it. So we shoot in Vegas, Tahoe, and San Francisco. We've got Robert Hoffman attached, who is the star of Step Up 2.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer Blankbein also agreed to be in it. We work together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I play the lead, as well as my co-star Danielle Artigo, who's married to John Artigo and is my co-producer on the project.
Okay. And what stage are we in?
We're in the middle of shooting. I just got back from San Francisco. So we have 5 more days out here in L.A. to finish shooting, and then it'll go into editing and then color correction and then composition, and then it will be shopped around to different networks. And we will see who picks it up. But we've already been in talks with some people. I cannot mention names yet.
Of course. Of course. To the Bridge. Pilot for, it sounds like a drama, a 1-hour drama.
Yes, it's okay. A 1-hour. And the Bridge is the San Francisco Bridge. It takes place in San Francisco.
Mm.
And the Bridge also refers to an old tale when women were cheated on in the 14, 1500s, they'd take their cheating spouses to the bridge and throw them off.
I never heard this. This sounds good to me.
Yeah.
What? Did you hear about this, Lisa? Am I the only one never heard about this?
Somehow I missed out on that as well.
Yeah.
Is that in the north or the south or the east, or was that a nationwide throwing off the bridge collective?
It's we made it up for the project. Folk tale.
That's why we never heard of it.
Yeah. I heard of rat poisoning your spouse, but never throwing them off the bridge. I'm just wondering how the woman's going to throw them off the bridge. Okay. So you just wrapped a suspense thriller titled 1108, written and directed by and scored by Dan Brown Jr.
Yes.
This is good.
Yeah.
What's 1108 about?
1108 is about a girlfriend and her boyfriend who move into a new house. Like every horror movie. Whoa.
Oh, it's a horror.
It's a horror.
Okay.
It's a horror. I guess the girl isn't my first horror, but I wasn't a very big part in 1108, but I was a cool part. Anyway, they move into this house, and there's a ghost that already inhabits it and wants to kill everyone. So you're just going to have to see it, because I can't give away the ending, but I play the psychic medium in it.
Okay.
And I tell them that they need to, like, read a book, and I can't help them, and the spirit energy is too strong for me to take on.
What? Yeah. So what stage is this in? Just wrapped. Oh, so it's over.
Just wrapped. So it's in post.
Okay.
It'll be released to festivals in the next month or so.
And any distribution?
The trailer will be released soon. No
any
distribution
bites?
Yet that I know of. Okay. Actually, but I'm sure Dan has something up his
sleeve.
He's very talented.
Now, that name sounds so familiar to me, but off the top of my head, I can't think exactly of something, but I know this is a name that I've heard before.
There's the Dan Brown that started the Da Vinci Code.
That's what I'm thinking of. Is it that Dan Brown?
No. It was Dan Brown Jr.
Is it the son?
No.
Damn.
I like to tell people.
All right. Well, sounds good. All right. So you just have an upcoming short film in development. What is that about?
That is with Dan Brown Jr.
Oh, is that the same one?
It's a different one. We decided to collaborate on a short film.
Okay.
Actually, there's two. There's one that I'm creating with Dan Brown, and it's about perception of God and what you think is God could be the Antichrist and blah. And then I'm actually doing one with a friend. I'm writing a short film with my friend Tom about two kids who grow up together and then are separated, and then when they meet up again when they're older, they have nothing in common and don't really get along, and we kind of explore why and what happened in between them separating, coming back together, that made them grow so far apart.
That sounds interesting. That happens a lot, especially with adopted children. So what do you think, Lisa? That sounds like a hot topic.
Very much so. Yeah. Something a lot of people could relate to.
I think so. That's a good topic. I like that. Any kind of coming together story.
Yeah.
And that's always
hopefully with
a
happy ending.
We'll see.
And now, what is going on with this online magazine titled, I can't pronounce this, Women-tertain.
Yeah, that's
Women-tertain. Women-tertain.
Women-tertain.
Women-tertain.
Yeah.
That's almost as pronouncing Lisa's last name, Women-tertain.
Vigny.
Thank you. I'm going to have to practice that. Okay, what is that about? That's a whole website. And what is it about?
It's about women who run the entertainment industry. So,
what?
Yeah, so for my final project for school, I was emailing anyone and everyone who would sit down and talk to me about what their careers were like and how they got to a certain place in their career. And after a couple months of doing that, I continued it after graduation. I went to a Halloween party last year and was hit on by somebody who promised me to walk me into the biggest agency in town and to give me a role on their sitcom that they had. And it broke my heart because they tried to get me to go upstairs with them.
Of course.
And I was so upset, and I left the next day thinking I had ruined my career for not going upstairs with this guy. And then I was like, wait a minute, I bet this happens to every woman who works in LA at some point.
Yeah.
So I decided to take what I was doing for my final project for school and had continued to do and turn it to just women who worked in entertainment. And I started going on IMDb Pro and looking up names of women whose email addresses were out there, and I just flat out emailed them and said, hey, I'm working on developing this magazine. Would you like to be a part of it? This is what it's about. And that's what Women Entertain is.
Okay, so what type of stories do you, is it many different columns, or is it just?
It's different kinds of women that I interview. So I've interviewed talent agents and casting directors and fashion designers, different across the board, friends who have observations about women in entertainment. So it's kind of across the board. And it's still in development very much. I'm actually looking for contributors. So if you want to contribute to the magazine, you can email me at info@halliejordan.com.
That's very good. Yeah. I actually have friends who are columnists at various acting websites, and you know, like Backstage West. And affairs. So that's, I'm going to put that out there.
Yeah.
We need to do an advertisement for that.
Okay.
Now, you also are in development for a one-woman show.
Yeah.
I want to hear about that.
Well, my background, as you said earlier, is in theater, musical theater to be specific. And since I moved out to L.A., I've done one show that ran for 8 weeks, but I haven't done as much musical theater as I'd like to do. So a coach friend of mine asked me if I was interested in writing and creating a one-woman show. And that is what I'm in development for. I'm writing, creating a one-woman show full of musicals that I like and self-written songs and changing lyrics around and doing tap numbers. So that should be up in the next couple of months. Another thing in development, I don't sleep. I just go. I'm a workaholic.
I see. We have to find out your zodiac sign. What's your zodiac sign?
I'm an Aquarius.
We can see the high energy, can't we? She's an Aquarius, and she does like a million things, too.
When's
so
your birthday?
This is normal.
February the 9th.
I'm February 8th.
See? Hannah, what I was telling you. Hannah's the daughter. She's over there. Yeah, it's similar characteristic traits. See? They're both all over the place doing all kinds of stuff. So what about the one more? Well, you know, get in touch with me about that if you're still in development, because do you remember a show? You probably are too young. I know you remember it, Lisa. Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, my favorite.
Okay.
I always get that I look like Melissa Gilbert.
You do.
Oh, yeah,
you do.
I see that.
But remember Nellie?
No, yeah. Little blonde-headed girl.
Right. Right, so she's
the brat.
Yeah, her name is Allison Arngrim, and she's a friend of mine, and she does a one-woman show.
Oh.
And it's very, very popular. She tours all over the world, so you might want to get some tips from
her. Yeah, I'd love
that. So email me, and I'll hook that up.
All right.
But, so tell us about the show, the one-woman show. What's your target? Where are you going? Just L.A.? You going to take it on tour?
We'll see what happens. I'd like to bring out some Broadway people and hopefully tour with it, because I do miss doing musical theater, and I do eventually want to go to New York and do Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called This Not That, and it's basically about how I think I want something, but then I change my mind and want the other thing, but I really mean this. This Not That. And it's kind of the story of my life.
So there's going to be Broadway numbers in? Oh, you
got I'm the only one performing, but there will be a tap number in it.
But you need a choreographer, right?
Of course.
Jane Lanier was on my show last week, Broadway choreographer. She's going to be moving to Chicago, but she's going to be here for a while.
I'll have to be in touch with her.
Email me. Let me go. Yeah. She can be very helpful. She did Fosse.
Oh, my God.
She did Guys and Dolls, Fosse, Sweet Charity. She's done it, choreographed it all. So.
Oh, my God, yes.
Love to meet her. Now, this is, I was reading this and I said, my God, this sounds like fun. You're going to put together a professional all-lady improv team.
Oh, no, we're already together.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, we had a show last night.
Oh, see, I know. And it's called, wait for you to hear this, Lisa, you'll like that, Ladies Like Tea.
Oh.
Don't you love that? That sounds so Southern. That sounds Knoxville, Tennessee, right?
Yeah, we just had a tea the other day.
You did?
At the Rose Cottage in Pasadena.
Yes, and you told me that fascinating story about high tea, low tea.
That's right.
Which we did not know. Now, let's tell us that real quick. I think people will be interested in that. Because everybody thinks, oh, you want, when you go to tea, high tea is the tea that you're supposed to go to because that's the posh British tea. But in actuality, tell us that little story.
It's actually the low tea because the low tea is the little foo-foo food, the finger sandwiches and the pedophores in it. The low tea comes from being served on the low tables, like the coffee tables. And the high tea is just more for like the commoners in England. So most people have that backwards. Low
Isn't
tea.
That fascinating? Yes. See that?
I had no idea.
We learn something cool. new every day. So what are you doing in this ladies like tea group?
Well, we're an improv team. There's seven of us, and we came together last October. A lot of things seem to come together last October.
It's the energy of the air sign.
Yeah.
Your months to be most productive are February, October, and June.
Good to know.
Yeah. So go ahead.
It's been a productive month. well, last month because it's July.
So is it sort of like theater sports where you go and you do improv shows?
No, we're just an improv team. We do long-form improv.
Okay. Now, for people who don't know, this is perfect what you just said. Explain the difference between, because in comedy improv, you have long-form and you have short-form. So explain.
We put on short skits that last however long one of our team members in the back of the line decide that it should go for, and then we keep doing it. We get a suggestion from the audience. It's like, whose line is it anyway?
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Whose line is it anyway, basically.
So can you explain the difference between short form, long form?
Yeah, and then short form is more of a story.
Yeah, so long form was what she just explained, long form is more like a story, and short form is more like you take a suggestion and then you just roll with it.
Yes.
So there you go. So continue.
So that's...
Well, where do you perform?
We perform all over. We perform at I.O., Second City, The Loft. We've been getting offered a lot of positions lately.
And how many people are in your...
Seven.
And the names?
All of our names?
Well, you want to give them some credit.
Okay, we've got Christina Cruz.
Okay.
Rachel Middleton.
Yeah.
Emily Grant Hanley, Kim Mayher, Holly Burns, and Kelly Tran, and myself.
And is there a website where we can check it out?
We have a fan page on Facebook.
Okay.
So check us out, Ladies Like Tea, and we always post what we have coming up and little videos. We all do sketches together. You can check out one of our sketches on Funny Art or Die. It's called Love That Girl. So type in Love That Girl, spelled G-U-R-L, on Funny or Die, and you can see four of us performing in it.
Well, I hate to ask this question, but what are some of your upcoming events and things happening? Because you've told us pretty much everything, but I bet you anything there's something else going on that you missed.
Oh, there's so much going on.
I knew it. I knew it! You Aquarians are crazy!
I know. Let's see. Well, we start the girl in 3 weeks. I finish wrapping To the Bridge in 2 weeks. I just signed on for another movie with Blancbean Productions, which is on the DL, so hush,
hush. Nobody's listening. None of my worldwide million listeners are listening. Okay, go ahead.
There's a Western happening later, which is also on the hush, hush through Blancbean
Western.
Productions. Which, by the way, I interviewed Jen for my magazine, and we ended up becoming good friends.
And who's Jen?
Jennifer Blancbein.
Oh, Jennifer. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Who's been absolutely amazing.
Jen. All right, I was thinking J-Lo. Okay,
no,
Jen. Yes.
Who's married to Michael Biehn. So we've started collaborating.
Okay.
There's the Toronto Film Festival next month. I'm going to be busy with a lot of post-production, though, coming up and selling my pilot. So that's going to be coming up and taking up a lot of my time. I have a friend coming to visit next week. That's exciting.
That's good. From?
Chicago.
Is that where you're from?
No, I just went there to do Second City.
Where are you originally from?
New York.
Oh, what part of New York?
I was born on the Upper East Side.
Okay.
But my family's from Great Neck.
Okay, sounds good. Oh, my God, so can I call you my little gossip girl?
No.
Okay, so we are now going to move into the second portion of the show, which everybody's been waiting for, and that is career advice. So, Holly, with your vast experience, how old are you, like 21, 22?
23.
She's going to be giving us a perspective of a young, hot actress in Hollywood. So for all of you that email, I have some questions, which let me just tell you now so you stay tuned to my show. I decided to pick three questions today, and we'll start with those. The first one is from Kirsten, I think, K-R-S-T-N, Kirsten from Hershey, Pennsylvania. And she says, hey, Hallie, I want to move to LA, but heard it was crazy expensive. You can tell this is a young person writing this. How much should I save before I come out there? That is a good question.
Yeah, it is.
Because people move here with like $50 in their pocket and they get here and they just, you know, either walk Sunset Boulevard pimping it out or they're back on the Greyhound because you cannot come here for $50. So what?
Well, there are people who come here for $50 and make it, and there are people who come here with thousands of dollars and end up going home. So my suggestion to you is come out when you feel ready. You will figure out how to make money and to sustain yourself. You will have to get a day job either way, whether you have hundreds of thousands of dollars saved up or if you have $50 saved up. But don't wait too long. Get out here when you're ready and be ready to have unexpected costs. Be ready to have to pay rent. It also depends on what side of the town you want to live in. If you want to live in Beverly Hills or up in the hills, you're going to be spending $1,500 a month on rent versus if you live outside of LA where you could spend like $700 in rent. So it really depends on where you look, where you want to move, what your day job is, if you're a waitress, if you work at Best Buy, if you're a bottle girl at a fancy club. So a lot of that is going to come into account. Also your training. If you're getting training out there, that's great, but you're going to want to have money to take classes out here and make connections and start to make friends. So I suggest being able to afford $300 at least a month for acting classes.
And
food and gas is crazy expensive out here. You need a car. So, I mean, if you have a car, take your car. But there's so many unexpected expenses, but it depends on you to figure out if you're going to make the money when you get here or if you want to save it all and give yourself a couple of months as a pillow.
Which you're going to hear a word of wisdom from a 23-plus person here. And my advice is don't you even think about coming out here without saving at least a year. I'm so serious. I cannot tell you. I mean, if you're itching to come out here and you have $50, I don't know. I'm going to disagree with Hallie. Do not come out here with $50 because that's not even enough to buy lunch and breakfast, lunch and dinner out here. So I would personally suggest from experience and hearing a lot of horror stories, you should save at least, what you want to do is you want to do research. Like when I came out here in 92, there was no internet, but there's no excuse for you to come out here now and not be prepared. There's the internet. You need to get the apartment guide. You get the LA Times, wherever you...
$60 for West Side rentals for 2 months.
You know, if you have a friend that lives out here, say, hey, send me the apartment guide, which is a book and it has every single apartment. You can go the apartment route so you find out what that rent is and you save for at least a year. I'm telling you, you don't want to come out here and try to pursue any career and have to worry about stress and anxiety from paying the rent and having gas. And you certainly don't want to drive your car out here. There are people that do it, but by the time it gets here, oh my God, it's going to need repairs. So sell your car. That would be some money you could get from selling your car. But please try to save at least a year.
You will have to get another car when you get
here.
You
will, for sure.
You need a car.
You cannot. I mean, they do have public transportation, and believe it or not, I have actor friends that do get around. I swear, I'm amazed by it. But they really know the public transportation system. But it's very tricky because sometimes you could get a call for an audition, and they want to see you in a half an hour or an hour, and you're not going to make it on the public transportation system. So you do need a car out here. Again, as Hallie said, it's very expensive. It's running about like $4 a gallon out here now.
I paid $4.60 the other day.
Yeah. So you want to say, okay, I need enough for a year. I need enough for a rent for a year. Then you got to factor in, okay, if you get a little junker car, it's going to cost $3,000 maybe. Yeah. So you need $3,000. Then you got to say, okay, I have money for gas. So factor in that. So I know it sounds like an overwhelming amount of money, but if you come out here and you don't have money, you are going to be bumming it out. It's going to be stress. You're going to have to take any job, and then you're going to have to work 2 and 3 jobs, which is defeating the purpose of coming out here, because if you're coming out here to be an actress, you want to take classes. Again, $300 minimum a month, you have to take actors classes. There's also things called casting director workshops. That's the smartest way to get in front of.
And Actors Access.
Actors Access, that's an annual fee. LA Casting is an annual fee. Now Cast, everything costs money out here. And you think you can come out here and you can get a job. Well, the typical jobs that actors get are bartender, waitress. It is very stressful, and not everybody is cut out to be a waiter or a waitress. Really, you're not. You may think that you are, but you are not. So factor in the money for an apartment and a car and gas.
It may not take a year for you to find a job that you can work and act for, but part of me, I do agree. Yeah. You need to have money saved up. But
you need headshots.
Headshots.
That's going to cost money.
But if you are itching to get out here and you see no other way to make it work but to come now, then you figure out how to make it work with what you've got.
Yeah. Good luck with that. you can come out here and do a roommate situation.
Because
that's also a good thing too. I'm not a roommate person, but you can do a roommate situation. You'd want to get a roommate with another actor or a couple actors, because if they've been here for a while, they'll be able to tell you where to go, what to do. And please, Lord, look up where you're moving. Don't end up in a part of town where you're going to be stripped of everything in 36 to 48 hours. Yeah. Actually, closer, nothing, strip you in five minutes. Don't just look for, good areas.
And don't fall into any agency scams.
Oh, my God, no. Everybody, if an agent asks, if somebody says they're an agent and they want you to sign a contract and you have no credits, they are a con artist, charlatan, scam artist. You want to run for the hills. That's not how it works.
IMDb Pro is your best friend.
IMDb Pro is your best friend. You want to look everyone up. Make Google your best friend. Anybody who contacts you, Google them. Because if there's something bad out there, it's going to be on Google, or bad.
I have a question.
Yes.
Now, what is the IMDb?
IMDb, you probably know as the Internet Movie Database, where you can go on and see who is playing in what movie. Okay. If you're on IMDb,
television, video, anyone in the entertainment industry, no matter worldwide, it's on IMDb.com.
Right. And then IMDb Pro is basically the directory of all those people. So it's got access to all of the phone numbers. It's got star meter ranking. It's got everything.
It's got your agents, the legal representation for celebrities.
Mailing addresses.
Their legal representation, their agents, their managers. That does cost. IMDb is free. But that IMDb Pro is a cost to be on that, to get that information. But that is really good for, say, when you're an actor and you want to get a certain actor to be in your film, you can contact their agent or manager or something like that. So you have to, if you don't know what IMDb.com is, do not come to Hollywood. You're not ready yet, right?
Right.
So please, save. I say bumper cushion save. Okay, next question comes from Linda from Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. I wonder where that is. Okay, Haley, I'm 15. I don't want to go to college, but my parents are on my case to get a degree before I try to start my acting career. I don't want to waste 4 years when I just know Hollywood wants hot young actors now, and I'm a really good actress. I've been doing theater since I was 5. What should I do?
I think that You should go to college. Yes. I went to college. My parents made me go to college, and I am a working actress now.
Yes.
And I've been graduated a year. Now, I wasn't a theater major because I wanted to work in LA, so I decided to create my own degree. So I worked at the top of my knowledge to create a degree, which allowed me to come into LA for auditions and still go to school for my work. So if you're torn between the two, maybe I suggest looking at schools out in California. Either getting a theater degree, or I'm always going to promote my school, Johnston College at the University of Redlands, where I did create my own degree. And there are parts that I can play now that I would not have been able to play had I not gotten that degree. So getting your degree is very important. You need to know what's going on in the world as much as you need to know your lines for your script.
You need a base.
It's not enough just to be a good actress.
No.
You need to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. You need to know why your character would make a certain choice. You would have to know the period that is being played in the script, what's going on sociologically around that person. There's just so much more to it than reading lines and being good at reading them. So your parents are great for sending you to college. I think everybody should go to college if you want a long-lasting career. Now, I'm 23, and when I was 15, I was dying to be out here and didn't want to go to college either, and my mother made me, and I thank God that she did. And I was auditioning when I was 15. I was in every play. I was in every short film, student film. But that did not change the fact that I got my butt into school.
Yes.
And got my degree in 3.5 years. So you can finish it quickly. You can be, you can take your summer courses if you want to get out faster. But absolutely, absolutely go to college.
Yeah. I mean, and when you're in a small town, like, no offense, I don't know where Berkeley Springs, West Virginia is, but it seems like it might be a little small town. And you may be a small fish, a big fish in a small town, and when you're doing community theater, because there's only so many community theaters, and you may get your laurels and accolades and write-ups in the local paper, and you think, oh, I am the whip. I am ready for New York and L.A. But it is very different out here. You really need to be a triple threat, and that means you need to sing, dance, and act. And even then,
you need to be able to creatively think outside the box. Now everybody is creating their own projects and producing their own project and writing, and my friends and I are thinking about writing a showcase for each other and collaborating, and you learn how to do that in college. You learn how to work with other people on that level in college. You need to have that ability.
You need to have that social structure. Your future, the people who you're going to be in business with in the future, most likely you meet in college, whether you join a sorority or fraternity, but they end up becoming a business associate. So if you're going to drama class, you end up probably working with them, producing, directing, doing some sort of collaboration. So it's very important. And there are people who have multiple master's degrees who can't get a job. So you should at least have a base degree of 4 years. But yeah, you can, if your parents say, well, I'm not paying for you to get a degree in the arts, then choose it as an elective and sneak it in.
And take a business class because
Oh, yes. Hallie, I'm so glad you brought that up. This is show business. People forget the business part. You need to know accounting. You need to know how to manage your money. You need to know what is going on with your finances. And you've got to be, you are an entrepreneur if you're in the entertainment business. You do your own networking, marketing, sales, accounting, PR. You've got to. Because who else is going to do it for you? Unless you get to the level where you hire someone to do it for you, you have to do it yourself starting out.
Right. So if you can't be a theater major, if your parents won't let you, take a degree in business. Take a degree in sociology. Take a degree in psychology. There are a lot of other degrees that will apply to you
down the road.
Down the road out here. Business, and then when you get out here, you can always take a scene study class or a voice class or an improv class.
Yeah, business. You can't go wrong with a basic business. Last question comes from Brandy from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And she says, Haley, oh, this is so sad. I didn't know if I wanted to do this one. Okay, Haley, no, you're a Brandy. No, you're not. She says, Haley, I don't think I'm attractive. Kind of plain, actually. Oh, stop it. But everybody tells me I'm a really great natural actress. I do get cast for all the lead roles in my local community theaters. Hollywood is known for only picking hot girls. Do you think I should just stay here or give it a shot in L.A. when I graduate high school? Brandy from Tulsa. First of all, girl, you are beautiful. Did you not listen to that Christina Aguilera song? We need to play that every day.
We do. I think that you should move out here anyway.
Character actress.
Look at people like Tina Fey, who was beautiful, but before she was picked up on SNL, she wasn't the most beautiful actress in Hollywood. I don't consider myself the most beautiful actress in Hollywood. I'm cute, but I'm certainly not Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
There's parts for everybody. And
there is a place for everybody. Character actors. I mean, my God, you have more of a chance of getting a character actor part than a lead ingenue part out here because there's a million beautiful people out here.
And the lead ingenue parts fade. There are certain girls who come out here for a couple of years, get some great roles, and then fade out because they can no longer act it and they're no longer beautiful. But if you're a great actor and you have a decent look or are getting cast or have talent, you will get seen and you will get noticed. So don't think for one second that just because you're not a beautiful porn star supermodel that you're not going to get cast in LA, because that's not true at all. In fact, you might have a longer lasting career than some of the girls who come out here. So come.
Come. Absolutely. You are beautiful. I'm ready to break out in that song. Ellie, you sing. I might have to have you sing that.
I can't sing right now. I have no voice.
Now, what? Okay, so thank you guys for sending in the questions, and we hope that Hallie answered them. I think she did a great job answering them. Now, Hallie, back to you. What was the first thing that you did when you moved out here to start preparing for your acting career? And I'm going to throw in, how much money did you bring? Just a range. Are you a silver spoon baby coming from the Upper East Side? I'm going to throw it out there. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You know, I am very lucky.
However, has rich written all over her.
But I was on a very tight allowance when I first came out here. I budgeted everything and gave it to my parents. And I said, this is the amount of money I'm going to need each month. And I wasn't allowed to go past, go over, go anything on that. And I had to do it. And I was on $1,000 a month when I was here, when I first started out, and I couldn't go over it. And I had to learn how to manage with that amount of money. I took every internship I could get. I went to every open call I could possibly audition for. I was in every non-union theater I could be in, even if it wasn't very good. And I really worked hard when it came to SAG. I produced my own show with some SAG actor friends and was able to Taft-Hartley myself in, which is when you become SAG. But I moved out here for school when I was 19, and I've been auditioning ever since. And I became SAG about a year and a half, 2 years ago, so right before I graduated. But it took me 4 years to get there. Mm-hmm. And all the while, I was, you know, figuring out how to spend my money, which classes would best, you know, would be best for spending my money, which improv classes did I need to be in, who did I need to know to get me to the next level? And a lot of that came with internships. So yes. I emailed everyone, every film festival, every agency, and asked if they needed interns. I PA'd. I was a boom mic operator. I did Crafty, which is the food organizer. So I struggled when I first got out here, just like everyone else. I had agents tell me that I wasn't pretty enough to do what I wanted to do. I actually had one agent tell me that I would never be Anne Hathaway after the makeover in Princess Diaries. I'd always play the loser part before.
Oh,
and that really
no.
killed me. But I didn't take no for an answer, and I kept going. And that wasn't true, because I am cute, and I can.
Better than cute.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Thank you. I mean, I even see you look a little bit like Joan Rivers' daughter, a little bit like Melissa Rivers, too.
I see that.
But, you know, I want to talk to you real quick about that. Just another expense. She was just talking about SAG. As an actress, everybody thinks, oh, my God, if I could only become a SAG actor.
No.
Oh, Lord, let me just tell you. You do not want to rush that. You want to work as a non-union actor as much as possible. There are more and more parts right now for non-union. You're going to make money. And let me tell you, you want to talk about money. Once you get those 3 credits and you're ready to join, what is it now? I know I paid $1,500.
I paid $1,500, but now it's
$3,000
for the SAG-AFTRA.
So basically, it's like you work, you work, you work, you work. You get your 3 SAG credits, which you need. It's still 3, right?
I think it's three or a speaking role in a SAG.
Or a speaking role. And then the union says, congratulations, you are now applicable to become a SAG actress. Pay here, and it's $3,000.
Yeah.
Then you become a SAG actress, and again, this is not everyone, but I have found that a lot of actors say, oh my God, I'm not getting any parts. It depends on the person, but I've heard that a lot. So don't rush it. Save. Put a little envelope aside for your SAG for when you, because it's going to cost a lot of money.
I worked for 4 years before I became SAG, and even then, at the beginning, now I'm starting to get consistent work because of who I know, though, not because I'm SAG. Because I've made the connections. I went out of my way to make connections with people. And SAG has, you know, come in my favor a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, they've saved my butt a couple of times. But at the beginning, it was hard to get SAG work. And I waited.
Yeah, it really is. It's very, very, very competitive. But a good thing is that when you join SAG, if you're not getting a lot of work, you can go what's called FICOR. And that's basically, that means that you can work non-union stuff. You can pretty much do just about anything. You just don't get to vote. So, and that's another topic. But, when you become SAG, you also have dues. I think it's $200.
I pay $100 biannually, every six
yeah, months. Yeah, so $200 a year, and then it's a percentage. They take a percentage
of
your earnings. So it's expensive.
And then if you make over $15,000, you can be on their insurance policy, which is actually a really great insurance policy.
It is, but you have to consistently make it. So that's when you're up to A-list actress. So so continue on. Let's ask, what characteristic traits do you think, just maybe three characteristic traits that you think will empower you if you have these naturally to become a great actress? Like, obviously, you have to be assertive. You really do.
You have to be ambitious. You can't think, they're never going to want to hire me. You have to have a sense of authority, a sense of belonging. You have to know that you deserve the part. Otherwise, they're going to look right over you.
Confidence. When you go in auditions, casting people can smell desperation a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
Back up to what I'm saying. If you come here, no money, you're living on a park bench, and you want that part more than anything, they will be able to tell. I don't know what it is about these casting people, producers, directors. They can sniff out desperation a mile away.
I had the craziest experience. I was in on the casting for my pilot that we just did.
Yeah.
And people were friending me on Facebook asking for parts. There were people in the waiting room who were rude and felt entitled, and I knew about it, so I automatically didn't cast them.
Mm-hmm.
There were people messaging me while I had said I would be out of town on a shoot asking about these parts, and I was like, I am shooting a totally different part. And, you know, it's really more about the production than it is about the actor, and that's really important to remember, because everyone who was super desperate to get a part in my pilot, I didn't give it to, and it wasn't for lack of not liking them or knowing that they needed a job,
mm-hmm.
but it was, I don't want to work with somebody who's, excuse my French, going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, tacky is something that I cannot stand. I can smell tacky a mile away. And you cannot be, if you have to read. I don't know about you, but I find that people have a problem reading directions. Like if you say, don't email me, don't, you know, contact me or email me, don't call the office, they will call.
Yeah.
They will find your phone number and call you about a part.
I had a manager call me 2 days ago about a part that's already been cast, and I said that we had released that breakdown 3 weeks ago.
Mm.
Why are you calling me now?
Mm.
You know, and very nicely, but read, please.
Yes, please. I'm telling you, a lot of people don't read. You don't read things. Read, because you definitely do not want to get on the blacklist of the casting person, because they remember everybody. Everybody.
Mind you, there are definitely some times when I've messed up, and I'm sure there are some casting directors in workshops that I've totally made a fool of myself in and don't call me in, but there are others who do. So you're going to learn by being out here and auditioning and messing up, but always be polite. Don't be desperate for the part. The right part will come when you're ready for it.
Okay. We got like 2 minutes. I want to find out, what are your pet peeves about the audition process, and what would you recommend to casting people that casting people do to make it less stressful on actors so that the audition might be better? And I know that you're like, why do I even have a say? But yes, you do. Because I have so many friends that are casting directors. They're like, I wish I knew how to make an actor feel less stressed, because I know that it's a stressful situation coming in. As an actor, what can they do?
Honestly, it'll be stressful either way.
It is.
I say, get us the sides as soon as you possibly can, so we have time to go over them. And if we're going in to wait, don't make us wait an hour, because it just makes us more nervous. Maybe get a soundproof room, because every time you guys laugh on the other side of the door, we think it's 20 times louder than it is. And if it's not a laughing scene, we want to know why you're laughing, and it'll change our perception and be like, oh my God, I need to make them laugh in this part. It's not even a funny script. And just the things that go through our head.
That is an excellent, I have never heard that. That is such excellent advice. I'm so serious because that has happened to me. And I'm like, I don't read this as funny.
Why are they laughing?
Yeah. And then I think, well, should I change it? Should I read it differently? That is a great point. That is good. Love it. Okay. Lisa, do you have any questions for Hallie? We got to ask some questions. As a person who's not in the entertainment industry yet, say you were moving out here because you wanted to be in the entertainment industry. What question would you ask Hallie? Like if you're a costumer, because you're going to be coming out here and you're going to be a costumer, what question do you think you could ask her? What do you think that you can do to come out here and get a job? Why would Hallie hire you?
Well, let me ask you this, Hallie. What would you do differently now than when you first started out?
Oh, God, I would have a lot more confidence than when I first started out. I was such a mess when I came here because I was so desperate for parts and I was so desperate for work, and you could read it on me. I would be a lot more confident in myself. I would own what I do a lot more, and I would walk in and just be myself in the audition room instead of thinking, oh my God, this is what they want me to be. Because you don't know what they want you to be. They don't know what they want you to be.
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes they have an idea of who they want as a character, and then you come in and you're exactly what they want. It's nothing like the character. So excellent, Hallie. All right, we are finished. Done. Finito. We have concluded this episode for the day. I want to thank you so much, Hallie Jordan. Go to HallieJordan.com. This girl is going to be walking the red carpet in no time, and I'm so glad that I got to meet her first, because she is a mover and a shaker, and that's what you got to be out moving here, people. Up. Take it from Hallie Jordan. You got to be moving and shaking and doing your thing, or you're not going to get anywhere. You can't sit on the couch and be depressed because you didn't get a part. Move on, move on, move on, move on. Thank you so much, Lisa. Lisa, and the Cult Jam Band. Okay, no, Lisa DeVigny. Thank you.
And Hallie, you're fabulous.
You are. Gorgeous,
fabulous.
Too.
And gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, and thank you, my darling Hannah. Say something in there, Hannah. Say hello to your friends at UCLA. She's just starting UCLA.
Hey, everyone. I'm going to UCLA this year. Woo, go Bruins.
Yay.
She's going to college.
Yay. And my wonderful friend Clayton Gertz, say something in the microphone to your friends and family.
Hello, everybody.
Back in Baltimore. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Join us next week for another episode of Question Reality Show. Thank you. See you later. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.